Brethren, this is so good. I just got to say it again. I thank God through Yeshua Messiah our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah Yeshua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now here's where the apostle brings in this new law. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the introduction of the Holy Spirit into this entire situation. The Holy Spirit is only mentioned once in the preceding seven chapters. Now, here in chapter 8, where the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is introduced, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times just in this chapter, okay? Now, we must know the importance of having the Holy Spirit living in us. And this is the point at which most Gnostic heretics and cults go off the deep end. And let me make it clear that I'm not talking about experience, brethren. This has nothing to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is not one reference in Romans chapter 8 to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll contend with those who say that the reference to the groaning of the Holy Spirit found in the latter part of the chapter refers to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a relationship every believer has with Messiah, whether you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not. We're not talking about experience. We're talking about a relationship. And how many have received the Holy Spirit into your life? Has he come to live in you? In verse 2, we find the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. Because of sin, I have in me a spirit of death. Do you know that the spirit of life is more powerful than the spirit of death? It's easy to prove. Because of sin, death came. But because Messiah, resurrection came. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to get eternal life. I already have eternal life. You say, how do you know? I know because I have received the spirit of life in me, who is the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Messiah living in us. It's no difference. Whatever church you attend or how you worship, it makes no difference if you're loud like a Pentecostal or quiet like the Quakers. If you have the Spirit of Messiah living in you, you have the Spirit of life. And we all have different personalities, brethren, and different emotions. We have different ways of enjoying things, and all of those are just peripheral. The important thing is to know we have received the Spirit of Messiah. And when we have received him, he is the Spirit of life that is more powerful than death, which works within me. And when sin is done, the ultimate is death. And when the Holy Spirit has done the ultimate, he raises us from the dead. Hallelujah. Now watch this. It gets better. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This whole battle moves to a new dimension. It moves upward to my thinking. I have a carnal mind, and that means a flesh mind, because sin works in my flesh. And this carnal mind triggers everything else. It starts thinking things, and you would not believe some of the things that I think. I've been praying, and while I was praying, suddenly I remembered the punchline to a dirty joke that I heard when I was a teenager, and I thought, Lord have mercy, where did that come from? And I did not meditate on that. I did not want to entertain it. I was moving in another direction when all of a sudden this carnal mind, which does not want to submit to the Holy Spirit, reared its head and tried to take dominion. If that was the end of it, you'd say, you're hopeless. But that's not the end, you see. The Holy Spirit is there. And the moment that happens, the Holy Spirit slams on the brakes. The Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to be spiritually minded. And somebody might ask, well, how am I going to get rid of that carnal mind? Well, I'll tell you how. By replacing it with a spiritual mind. By saying, I reject this. The Holy Spirit knows the process is going on. And as long as we walk after the Spirit, we're free from condemnation. And He will lead us step by step into deliverance. I wish I could tell you that it was instantaneous in every case. I have it, I think. And I'm on top of it, I think. And I've got the victory for a period of time, but then it's back. The Holy Spirit says, I know. If you do not correct it, I'll have to spank you. And I say, Lord, I don't want to be spanked. Lord, help me. And each time I fall, and each time I fail, I do not get weaker. Each time I fail, when I stay connected to God, I get stronger. And I'm growing from babyhood to adulthood. And we must start praying, P-R-A-Y-I-N-G, instead of praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, for people who have struggles in certain areas of the flesh. I thought they were a Christian. Sure, they're a Christian. Just give God a chance to work on them. And the Lord would have us praying for them. Instead, how often do we pray, P-R-E-Y, on them? Look how long it took to work on you. Can you say amen? What else are you going to lie about then? So the Holy Spirit has put power in us. Listen, I'll give you my understanding of divine healing. One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is more powerful than the law of sin and death, is that He touches us with healing power, just to let us know that He's stronger than death, which works in us. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Messiah, he's none of his. What is the real victory? The real victory is one thing. I know I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, and while all of this battle and struggle is going on, I hold on to this one dynamic truth. The Spirit of God dwells in me. I want to jump over now to verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So all the time this struggle and conflict is going on, if I will live by the law of faith and declare that God dwells in me, the Spirit of God will bear witness with my spirit in the midst of my weakness. He will bear witness that I am a child of God. And that He has not kicked me out of the family. He will bear witness that He loves me. He will continue His sanctifying work. And all I have to do is stay connected to Him. So when you're messed up and you feel so low for Messiah's sake, get back up and say, Lord Yeshua Messiah, You live in me. Work out Your pleasure. Your Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. It's none of the devil's business, and the Holy Spirit will continue His gracious work in you. The Holy Spirit will continue to sanctify us and deal with us. I wish I could say that the first time that the Holy Spirit said don't to me, that I would just quit and let that be it. But some things I have struggled with a long time, and some things I look back and say, Lord, I did not think it was making a difference. But now, I look back and I see where You brought me from. You see, we are to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord. And it's a process. And we do not reach perfection overnight. It's a struggle. And some of us may fall short in the struggle. And when we see it, we throw up our hands in despair and say, that's it. We write some people off and say, they're a phony. And if you were in the same battle that they are in, you would not say they were a phony. You'd say, Lord, help me. Now look at this. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Messiah, he is none of his. And if Messiah be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The apostle is talking about the sin nature. If Messiah is in us, then I reckon the sin nature is dead. Goes on, and if Messiah be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Messiah from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit. He is called the Spirit of life. And when we have him, we have life. He is called the Spirit of God. He is the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of God who makes us know that we are the children of God. The Spirit of God leads us and guides us. And I'm going to say something that I know could be taken out of context, but if we would recognize who the Spirit is within us, we would need little worldly counsel. I'm not negatively reacting against counseling, and I'm simply saying that the Spirit of God has promised to lead us and direct us. And if we were sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we most probably would not need to hear from anyone else. And I worry about those folks who say they have a word for me, and they don't have any for themselves. Be careful when people say, "I have a word for you from the Lord." If you do not know what they're talking about, throw it away. If they do have a word from you, it will be a confirmation of what God has already told you. And if it does not confirm what has already been said by the Spirit to you, there's no need, brethren, to pay any attention to it. Now, we're talking about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Paul addressed him as the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God. And then in verse 9, he called him the Spirit of Messiah. The Spirit is not only the Spirit of God, he's also the Spirit of Messiah. And that's the reason we can have Messiah in us, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Messiah. The Spirit of Messiah is in me. And it's the same Spirit that raised Messiah from the dead. Think of it. The same Spirit that raised Messiah from the dead. The Spirit of Messiah is a resurrection, life-giving Spirit. Now listen carefully. How many have ever been to a political or secular gathering where someone was asked to pray, and the first thing they did was to avoid praying in the name of Yeshua? Do you ever wonder who they are praying to? Some omnipotent being somewhere out there? I'm a messianic believer, and I do not know how to pray in any other name. If it offends you that I pray in the name of Yeshua, don't call on me to pray. The reason someone prays to the Almighty, Omnipotent God of the atmosphere is because they have not received the Spirit of Adoption. The Spirit of Adoption is an assurance to us that we are the children of God, and therefore, God is our Heavenly Father. So when I pray, I say, Abba Father, my Father, our Father. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, eternal Father. He is my Father because Yeshua is my Savior, and he's not ashamed to call me his brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People mess with me, they don't know my big brother. And if they don't know my big brother, they sure can't know my Father. So if I've not received Yeshua as my Savior, I have not received the Spirit of Adoption, and I do not know God as my Father. So God is an Almighty Potentate someplace. Well, not my God. No, my God made heaven and earth, and I call him Father. Hallelujah, because of what Yeshua did for me, not because I'm good, not because I keep the law. No, it's what my big brother Yeshua did for me. Glory to God, what a King, what a Savior. Oh, brethren, hallelujah. The apostle says that the victory we have when we're in a struggle, our sin nature has been taken care of by the death of Yeshua Messiah. And when Yeshua died, he did not die for our sins, our actions. He died for our condition. And I'm glad he died for the sin of the world. All that is lacking is for us to appropriate what he has provided. And it's a free gift. And we can have it. All we have to do is take it. whosoever will. The Apostle Paul proclaimed that God has not only taken care of the sin nature, but God has sent to us the Spirit of life, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of Messiah, so we can have victory in this earthly house of clay that gives us more trouble than we can shake a stick at. Only persons that I know in recent days who claim no problem with the flesh are those in the cemetery. So don't get fouled up over emphasize any sort of an experience called the baptism. I'm not minimizing that. Every believer ought to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's more important that we have a relationship by, with, and through the Holy Spirit. Without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that is impossible. No man can even come to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws him. It takes the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. You cannot have faith without the Holy Spirit. Faith is produced by a promise. The promise of God plus the Spirit of God equals faith. So the Holy Spirit is the answer for everything we know in our relationship to God and in our relationship to salvation. And that's the reason we need to bless the Lord for the Spirit of God. Yeshua said, I go to the Father and I will ask the Father not to leave you comfortless. I will send him. I have been with you, but when he comes, he is going to live in you. We are more blessed than the disciples who walked shoulder to shoulder with Yeshua. They knew him as friend and partner, but you and I have him living in us by his Spirit. Every place we go, he's there. And someone may say, well, I come to church to meet him. Brethren, I don't come to church to meet him. I brought him with me. And he is with you at work, at school, on the street. He's with you when you're doing good, and he's with you when you're doing bad. You are not going to put anything by him. He is with you when you're driving too fast, and the angels get out, but the Holy Spirit stays there. It happened this morning. I prayed, Lord, I feel so dry. I feel empty. Please touch me. The witness of the Holy Spirit was, you are my child. And whether you feel dry or not, you are my child. And none of that is possible without the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Brethren, of all the doctrines in the world, you can take everything that every messianic rabbi could possibly dream of thinking. And you could take everything that every great teacher ever taught. And it just don't make a pimple on what we're just hearing here in Romans chapter 8. It is absolutely the highest and most profound of all doctrines that you want to hear any rabbi teach. It makes us know why Yeshua prayed to the Father to send the Holy Spirit so that we could have a comforter living within us. How many would like the Holy Spirit to make himself very real to you more than ever before? Just ask in prayer. Lord, we want your precious Spirit to have preeminence in our lives. Help us to honor the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to you. Fill us with your Spirit so the name of Yeshua will be lifted up. Hallelujah. We will be true witnesses then and have the joy of the Lord. I pray, Father, for your glory. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's name, Father. Hallelujah. Nay, in all these things, hallelujah, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the doctrine of Messiah. And you're not going to get any greater doctrine from any rabbi ever than what Paul just gave us there in Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.